You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance a Kicks or Cash Tie to receive up to three payments on them. Finance rates from 0% on select Cash Ties. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel from The Athletic in here. The Leafs in action tonight. Dallas and Town making their only appearance in Toronto, and Leafs beat up on Dallas a couple of weeks ago, and they look to replicate that tonight. You got Florida playing tonight at home against Philly. So I think you're just looking for a regulation win from either team. But yeah, Florida, Philly, I mean, they're both right in the race, right? Like, you're in it with both of them. And if you're Toronto, you're scoreboard watching, you have to be. Regulation games, man. Those three-point games cause a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Okay. You guys okay over there? I don't know what's going on in here. Like, you, the two of you are nervous, I think, for the spelling bee.
I am so jacked up about the spelling bee.
I'm just trying to get us into the hour. The two of you are just staring at me as if, you know, I can do it. I can take it from here if you want. If you want me to just go off for the next hour, I am happy to do that.
Can I ask a question before we get into that?
Yeah, sure.
What are you more curious to see tonight? Frederik Andersen or that money line?
Money line, for sure.
Yeah?
Nylander, Marner, Matthews. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious.
I'm with Ray. I want to see it. Well, I'll give it one period, by the way, because William Nylander was playing great with Tavares. So I don't know why. And you know there's an element of... There's some kind of equation behind this. Somebody did something and said, if you put this three together with whatever numbers that they do, if you put it all together, it's going to be dominant.
You know what the problem
is? This is some kind of experiment. Like, it's a project.
What's your take on
there's
that,
I looked before last game. It was like 12 minutes that the three of them have been on the ice together. So there's nobody, there's no numbers guy who's being like, those 12 minutes. You got to get them together.
Thanks, Tips. What I'm saying is, if you put the three skill sets or whatever numbers they produce individually together, you're going to have a dominant product. It's some kind of there's something to it.
I think the eye test can do that for you too. I mean, the three of them are, you know, really talented, offensively inclined players. Who's going to defend? Now, we keep talking about go get the puck. Okay, you're not going to have the puck all night, even if you have someone that can go get it or wants to go get it. What are you going to do defensively?
Yeah.
And I think that's another intriguing element to the game tonight. Remember a couple of weeks ago when the Leafs were in Dallas, they were leaning on Sandin. Like, they were going out of their way to try to make contact on him and hit him. Mm-hmm. This is your prototypical heavy team, Dallas. Sandin and Liljegren, they're going to have to skate their way out of a lot of danger tonight. Move the puck quick. That's still a very intriguing storyline for me.
Sure.
I want to see the two of them.
I just buy what Ray was saying, like the one puck thing. I just don't know how it works with three guys who need the puck. Like, Boston's line is different.
Well, when you're three guys that need the puck and want the puck and have the puck, you should have it all night and just make a good play when you get it. Very simple. And if it doesn't work, I give it one period. That's it.
Yep, same. All right, are you guys ready for this?
I am ready.
Let's do it.
All right,
we're going to
have
a tip.
Yeah, go ahead.
You should write down what you want to say.
Thanks, dummy. Go ahead.
I'll
let Jonas go first.
We should take bets on this. How are we going to play this game, though? Is it going to be like trivia, the same rules, where if you miss, the other person gets an opportunity to steal? I don't know if we can do that with words.
No, I think we can.
Yeah, we can.
We'll give it a shot with the first couple. If it doesn't work, then we can adjust on the fly.
And is it points? Like,
yeah, it'll be points. If you get it right, you get 1 point. Right. I will be keeping score. The Grappler and Mullen and Al's brother will be keeping scoring as well to make sure that, you know, there's some checks and balances here. I don't want any cheating. I don't want an Alex Cora, Jim Crane scenario from either of you. We've got a bunch of names here. We've got a bunch of words. You guys are already saying you don't like the idea of names, so we'll keep that maybe for like a speed round. Okay, so Jonas, you're going to go first.
All right.
You have to spell correctly the words I am going to direct towards you. Are you ready?
Ready.
Jonas, are you ready?
Let's do this.
This one should be a layup to start. Neighborhood. Neighborhood.
Are we going to do the Canadian edition?
Everything is Canadian, of course.
That's N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R-H-O-O-D.
Yes, God.
That's a joke of a word. That's a grown-ass man right there.
All right, here, I'll give you one. This is one. You got to have this one.
Yeah, I know.
Gasoline.
G-A-S-O-L-I-N-E. Gasoline.
That's right, you sneaky little devil.
All right.
That's right, Jerry.
Okay, here we go. Back to Jonas Siegel.
All right.
Let's get a little bit crazy here. Discipline.
Okay, come on.
Discipline.
D-I-S-C-I-P-L-I-N-E.
You the real MVP.
That little sneaky C in there. You tried to pull a fast one there, Grappler.
I tried to. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Omission.
Omission is O-M-I-S-S-I-O-N.
Having nice the job. Time of his life.
I am I'm shocked by this. You guys, I mean, these aren't overly difficult words, no. But I mean, I guess I'm treating you like you guys are in grade two. Maybe I need to spice it up a little bit. You ready?
I am ready.
Jonas Siegel. Fluorescent.
Ooh, this is going
to fluorescent.
This one down.
Start thinking, oh, because if he chops it up, you have a chance to step in and pick up a big, big bounce back point.
I got this. F-L-U-O-R-E-S-C-E-N-T.
Yes, sir!
Very well done.
Nailed it.
All right, moving on to page number two for the O-Dug. I got to get you guys with one of these. Fortuitous.
Fortuitous?
Fortuitous. This is for the O-Dog. We are currently, I think Jonas is up 3-2. 3-2, we are in round six.
Fortuitous, F-O-R-T-U-A-T-O-U-S.
No God.
Jonas with a chance to steal. All
right.
What do you have, Jonas?
F-O-R-T-U-I-T-O-U-S. U.S.
So I missed by one leg. You got to give me that.
No, there's no there's no gimmies in this. It's not a two-foot putt. You said A, he said I. You got it right. Okay, who's back on the mound here? Jonas, right?
Yep.
Ambiguous.
You guys got to challenge me more.
Yeah, I know. That one, that is pretty easy. I'm getting to names after this.
A-M-B-I-G-U-O-U-S.
Jonas Siegel is laying a beating on the O-Dog.
He's only down
a
one.
Nerd. What do you expect?
Well,
I got
okay.
my grade 10. This guy's a journalist.
Yeah, but you're in the you read a lot. You read the first paragraph of any athletic piece,
yeah, and then it goes blank, and I turn the page.
Right.
Go ahead.
Camaraderie.
That's a tough one.
Camaraderie for the O-Dog.
C-O-M-R-A-D-E-R-Y.
Wrong.
Just stop him before he even gets going. Just cut him right at the knees. Jonas with another chance at a steal, basically to put this away. We'll get to some names after this.
This is actually a hard one.
Is it? Okay, what do you have?
C-A-M-A-R-A-D-E-R-I-E.
That's right, you sneaky little devil.
Jonas is educated.
This is fixed.
Jonas is well-read. Jonas is phenomenal at spelling bees.
Go ahead. Let's go.
I say we wipe it clean. We go back to 0-0 and we do names. Because you're not catching him. It's over, man. It's over. Do you want to wipe it clean and start
with
names?
No, we'll just keep it going. Go with names, though. Start a name.
Okay. Are you good to do that, Grappa? You guys are keeping score back there? I lost track a while ago.
Do you want to make the names worth two?
Yes. Great idea. Names are worth 2 points.
All right.
I like it. This is like the double Jeopardy round.
What's the score?
Grapples?
With my count, it is 6-2.
Yeah, I believe that's right. He's got two steals. So 6-2 Jonas, but these are worth 2 points apiece, all right? All right. Here we go. Jonas is on the board, I believe.
No, it's...
The O-Dog is up. Okay. Let's begin with... Mikheyev. Ilya... Mikheyev. How do you spell?
M-I-Y-K.
No guy.
That stings when they cut you off. You're just getting going.
I like the no guy.
All right, Jonas, you got to have this. You cover the team every day.
Yeah,
you've probably written about him recently.
I should be killed. M-I-K-H-E-Y-E-V.
Yes, guy.
8-2, and he's back on the board. All right, I got to try to get him here. You're not going to get this right. Hushmanzada. T.J. Hushmanzada. One of the all-time great Bengals. pretty good analyst now. One of the great haircuts of all time. Always slicked. He's got the ponytail. Hushmanzada. How do you spell that, Jonas?
Oh, it's mine.
Yeah,
oh.
Absolutely. You're on the board.
Hushmanzilli. I don't even... H-O-U-S-H-M-A-N-Z-A-D-E-8.
You're a moron.
You are a moron.
You're a moron.
At least we got you once. Oh, can you steal the 2 points?
Hushmanzada. H-O...
I will not be a party to this. I am Rob Manfred. There's cheating going on, and I'm not going to allow Jim Crane over here.
No, I don't know it.
And Alex Cora. And the
I'll give it a shot. H-O-U-S-H-M-A-N-Z-A.
You should have listened to him, man. He said the same thing. You guys are missing a D after Hushman. Duh. Zada. Dude, I will penalize you.
Well, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but somebody texted me Hushmanzada.
Okay, well, if I find out who it is...
And as soon as I was about to read it, my phone went dark on me, and I'm like, come on!
You are Altuve.
I am Bregman.
And I will not be a party to it.
Jeff Bregman.
Okay. Who's on the board here?
Me. That's me. My turn.
Yep. Yeah, okay. I got to give... Bufflin. You got to get Big Buff. Ooh, Bufflin.
This is an awful one. Buffylgien. I don't know how to spell Bufflin, dude.
One.
Come on, no one does.
I could spell it.
It's kind of a screwed up word because it's spelled differently.
If you get this, you're
going to get it right.
You get a Steve
Orton.
Get it right.
He'll get it right.
Randy
it right.
Orton. I'm going to Randy Orton this guy's chin off this desk if
well,
he gets this.
Get ready to RKO Jonas because it's going to happen. Go ahead.
Buffylgien.
You the real MVP.
Jesus.
I think I don't know if there's a point in continuing here. I mean,
no, there's not. It's over.
Yeah.
One more. Give me one more. Let me try to.
It's my turn.
This one's worth 8 points for me.
All right.
Are you willing to give him an opportunity?
Willing. Yeah. Let's do it.
Valanciunas.
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 V A L E N. C. Wrong.
Jonas for an 8-point steal. 16 points.
I think I got this one. Valanciunas.
That's holy right, crap. You sneaky
this guy's good.
Devil. He is a total
Jonas
nerd.
Is very
He's a
good.
Real life nerd.
Well, not with trivia. With trivia he sucks, but with yeah. spelling, I mean it's right up his alley and I don't think you got one wrong.
Hushmanzada.
TJ Hushmanzada. 3 off. All right. Good job,
Good
Jonas.
Match.
Well, thanks for stepping in today, buddy.
You're next.
Whenever you're ready. Spelling is not my expertise, I will admit to that.
All right.
Trivia, though, I cannot be taken down.
Well,
I've never lost.
Well.
Oh, throw something out quickly, trivia-wise, for all the points. He can go first.
Okay.
I don't have... you can't put me on the spot like that.
That's you don't have one trivia. You don't have one thing in your back pocket. One piece of trivia you can throw out. One. Make it your own trivia.
Okay. My career high in goals was 41. What was my second highest in goal total?
Do you want to go first?
You're up, Jonas. Go ahead, man.
33?
Wrong.
40.
Wrong. 30.
You're a moron.
30? You were 41 and then 30.
Twice.
Wow. Okay.
It was 31, but...
31, who cares?
That's trivia.
Yeah. It's your own trivia. Did you hear that, Bob?
Damn act together.
All right, Jonas. Have fun down at the rink tonight.
Thank you.
Tell everyone you're a big winner. On this show, you're
I'm
a
proud.
Big winner.
Say hi to your stats friends for me.
Say what's up to us.
I'll email us. Them.
All right, there's Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. Bob McKenzie in studio next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Penguins February 21st. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Leaf scored at least 20 goals 5 times over his NHL career.
It's me, for sure. It's me, for sure.
Bob, do you think it's him? Think it could be the O-Dog?
With the Leafs?
No, just in general. Over 20, 5 times. In his NHL career.
Well, I got to think Mike Gardner's done that.
Mike Gardner, I remember talking to him one time. We were doing an alumni game, and he's like, yeah, I scored 30 goals 17 times.
Yeah.
In a row, wasn't it, too?
Yeah, he had like...
I said, what? He goes, yeah, I scored 30 17 different years. I thought that was... I was in shock. I'm like, that's amazing.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. 30 goals 17 years? God almighty, that's a lot.
Yeah. He's got to be top 10 for sure in goals scored. Like, I don't even know if he ever hit 50. I would assume he probably did at some point. But just steady Eddie, 30 a year, every single year.
You know what pisses me off? I scored 19 2 years. I'm like, just get 20 and you could say you're a 7-time 20 goal scorer. Anyway, go ahead, Brian.
I was a little, hearing your impromptu trivia there, I was surprised that you had a gap, such a big gap between your career 41 and what, 31 was the best he did after that?
Yeah, according to the grappler, not himself.
Highly inconsistent.
Yeah, that's a peaking type of player.
Well, there's other people that wrote about me that didn't even think I should have made it to the NHL.
Inconsistent, I believe that was what it was.
Yeah.
Sometimes he looks like Dougie Gilmore.
Not even a specimen.
Cost you, I guess, 4 picks, man.
But
maybe
as Bob says,
first overall.
It's not his words. It was right. The scouts.
That's right.
They make the snowball, I throw them.
Yep.
You're just one man, Bob. That's all you can do, man.
Exactly.
That's all you can do. That's all you can say. Leafs in action tonight, Dallas in town, and it looks like Nylander, Matthews, Marner are going to play
another
again.
Shot. They weren't very good last game, but they want to write that off as Nylander had no energy and whatever. So we'll see. I think they'll certainly get the first period to see if they can get the kinks out because they weren't very good last time. And Sheldon Keefe said he saw a little something from him in the third, intrigued him enough to try it again tonight. So, yeah, it's interesting because they're obviously all guys that like to have the puck. They're all guys that can shoot and make a play. It's a much more skillful line than the next best offensive line, which would be obviously Tavares with Kerfoot and Hyman, you know, which is more of a working man skill line because Tavares obviously has got enormous skill. And then you see what you get from Spezza with Janssen and Kapanen. So.
Yeah, Tavares really picked up his game recently. Like, he really looked just a step slower than last year, sluggish at times, and maybe it's because the puck's going in the net. Like, maybe that's what it is.
That's probably a big part of it. And the other thing is, even in his good times, bad times, whatever, you get the same effort all the time. Like, you're never getting cheated on the effort.
Right.
He's the consummate pro, so he just shows up, and he works hard. And sometimes it's going, more often than not, it's going. On nights it's not going, you're like, oh, he seems slow and whatever. But the effort's always there.
Yeah, he's an automatic. Like, he knows, it's like in his subconscious mind, 30 goals is happening no matter what. It's what kind of bonus is after that. Like, the guy's getting you 30.
Yeah. Yeah, he has his whole career, for sure. And he will this year again. We have Paul Maurice on in the 4 p.m. hour. And he's got a new deal and locked in. Him. He was, I mean, I know when all these stories pop up, we get on them, and then we move on to something else.
Yep.
But he was detailing everything that team, his Winnipeg Jets, have been through all year. From Buffalo.
Crazy.
But with, you know, players being diagnosed with cancer and with players leaving the league altogether and movement. And he even actually started before training camp with Trouba leaving and Myers leaving. And just the amount of turnover and hurdles that have been unforeseen. And they're only a point out. They're in the race.
Yeah. And listen, and there are some people, Paul Maurice detractors, if you want to call them that, that say it's all hell about. All the Winnipeg Jets' success is a function of a goaltender who's been so much better than anybody could possibly imagine. And I don't think that's really fair at all because I think coach's job is in the face of all that stuff, you got to keep it together on and off the ice. And yeah, having a goaltender like Hellebuck who's having, some people would argue, an MVP-type season.
You've been great.
Never mind Vezina, an MVP-type season, that there's still an element of the coach has got to be the guy that doesn't show fear or panic or any of those things and creates an environment where, you know, everybody's going and you try to, you know, and they've embraced that whole adversity all season long, quite aside from the goaltender stealing games for them. there have been a lot of nights where they've been trailing in the third period, and they come roaring back. And that's not Hellebuck's not scoring the goals in the third period in these comeback wins. He's given them, he's certainly set the table and given them the opportunity to come back. And I think that's one of the reasons why Maurice got his extension. But even quite aside from that, what it really boils down to, and I talk about this a lot with ownership and management when it comes to coaches, or ownership when it comes to managers, you either have confidence in a guy, that this guy's good at what he does, we like the way that he leads, or you don't. And I, there were earlier this season when Maurice hadn't been extended and people were saying, oh, he's in the last year of his deal, he might be a lame duck situation. I never got the feeling for 1 minute that Winnipeg ownership or management was looking like, what are we going to do here? I think from the beginning of the year, they've had intent to sign Maurice. I think they've been working on it over the course of time. And listen, when they did hit that rough patch prior to Christmas and post-Christmas, and they went through the doldrums where there were 5 or 6 weeks, that probably wouldn't have been an optimal time to say to everybody, hey, everybody, here's Paul's extension.
Right, exactly. There's a PR element to it,
but I think even at that point they thought, no, it doesn't change anything for us. He's our guy. We got confidence in him.
Well, Hellebuck has had a very good year. Jakob Markstrom has got to be in that Vezina conversation as well in Vancouver. He made 49 stops last night. And, you know, Ray was on in the past hour, and I think he said 9 games in a row they've given up 30 or more shots. Yeah. And, you know, in this era, like 20 years ago, I'm not sure it would come up, the shot disparity or whatever. Now, with analytics being what it is and all that, I'm sure it's a big part of the conversation. They're relying on him so much, but he's pulling his weight.
Well,
outstanding.
I'm not sure on the numbers, but I think Carey Price and Hellebuck and Markstrom might be 1-2-3 for most shots faced in the National Hockey League this season so far. Stand to be corrected if that's wrong. But the interesting thing is Montreal's not in a playoff spot. Winnipeg is just teetering on that on any given day. And Vancouver, I wouldn't say they're solidly there because nobody in the Pacific Division can breathe easy. But
first place.
Know, they're there right now. And it's interesting because he's UFA. I just talked about this on Insider Trading a little bit. It's an interesting phenomena. How are they going to get this deal done? I'm sure Vancouver thinks with a 30-year-old goaltender, I'd like to do 3 years, maybe we'll do four. And I'm sure Markstrom's thinking, I'd like to do 5 or 6, but maybe I'll do 4 if the money's a little higher. And then you get into, well, what's the money going to be? And you look at guys who are on longer-term deals. Johnny Gibson in Anaheim, he's making over 6. Hellebuck in Winnipeg, he's making over 6. Mm-hmm. Does Markstrom have a body of work now that would justify a $6 million tab for him, or just close to it? And if he does, how long's the term? Because you've got Thatcher Demko, who's 24. He's played 28 career NHL games. Don't think he's ready for number one duty now, but do you want to block his path by giving somebody a 5 or a 6 year deal? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And then against all of that is got an expansion draft coming up in the not too distant future. So if Markstrom signs a contract, does he expect to get a no move clause so he doesn't end up in Seattle, or does he even care? I don't know. So right now the Canucks are saying nothing about the negotiations. And Pat Morris, the agent for Jakob Markstrom, is not saying anything about it. Everybody's on lockdown when it comes to the information. But what I can say, what I do believe I know, is that they have had some back-and-forth negotiations. And while anything can change with the old one phone call could change everything, I don't feel like they're close. I don't feel like it's imminent, as they say. One phone call, that can change, but Vancouver fans are going to be watching and waiting with great interest on this one.
This is a perfect example of the market and how it's going to challenge Benning and company in Vancouver not to listen to the market, because I think I have to believe in Vancouver. They love this guy right now. They should. What if he wins you a couple rounds?
Oh, yeah.
Like, look at Robin Leonard in New York. Like, the Islanders are not much of a team. They don't have a huge fan base. They got enough, but they don't get any coverage in New York. He had a great year last year. They let him walk. And they're like, sorry, dude, we're not going to overpay for you. But I don't think you can do that in Vancouver.
You wouldn't think so. And it's interesting because, you know, is Holtby going to be a free agent this summer? But how much does he want? Is Leonard going to be a free agent this summer? And how much will he want? And then you've got Markstrom. If he goes to market, I think Vancouver would be really hard-pressed to be able to go out into free agency and get what Markstrom is giving them for less than what Markstrom wants right now.
Right.
I think that, so then the question becomes, can you trust a kid like Demko to take over the number one job? And I think it's asking a lot after he's only played 28 games in his career. So, it, you know, and if he keeps, Markstrom keeps playing the way they're going, we'll see what happens with the playoffs. I mean, what if he gets to the playoffs and he crashes and burns?
That's very different.
Dynamic works both ways.
Yeah, it sure does.
But you're right. What if he wins a couple of playoff rounds, gets the Vancouver Canucks to the conference final, and now what's it going to cost you versus what it would cost you right now?
Absolutely.
So, you know, and if he keeps playing like he did last night, you think the meter's running, and the meter's running up, not down.
Got to be.
But
like, is there any connection still to the Luongo trade? Like, does that matter? Like, he was in that, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I don't know if...
Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, he's had a weird run in Vancouver, but...
Yeah, he's a late-blooming goaltender. I think he's got a body of work now that would suggest that what you've seen last year and this year is not an aberration.
Yeah. No, Vancouver... That whole division is wild, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, Calgary, they lose again last night. Vegas, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Vegas. Like, they're just there. They're up and down, very consistent.
Even after the coaching change, they've not been able to get the kind of traction.
Right.
There was two or three games there where they did, and you're like, okay, Pete's got them going. And then they lose a couple and get shut out, and you're like, okay, maybe what you see is what you get.
Right.
Maybe they're just going to be maddeningly inconsistent and just be a bubble team.
That's probably been the theme of the year for like 20 teams, right? Yeah, like five on the bottom who have been just consistently awful all year, five at the top who have been very good. You have 20 teams in the middle.
I don't know what they are
any given night.
And I hate to blame goaltenders, but a lot of times if you look at the goalie save percentage, you'll see.
There's just not enough goalies out there.
Vegas hasn't been getting the kind of goaltending that they've been used to getting.
Flurry's come back to life.
And Subban, and that, Tampa's hot as a firecracker now. So is Andre Vasilevsky.
Vasilevsky's unbelievable. He doesn't lose now.
Yeah.
He does not lose.
Yeah. When the goalie's good, you got strong offensive structure, but when the goalie's bad, you're floating, you're playing a poor system.
Exactly.
It's amazing how it all works.
Not unlike the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. When Freddie's 940, 930, 925.
They're rocking.
Woohoo! Everybody's like happy. The team's going in the right direction.
All the time. A hot goaltender saves you so much time in the video room. Because it's just, you don't have to go in there and be a coach. Is like, look at you missing your assignment. When the goalie saves the puck, it's like, that's gone.
And I ran into John Cooper during the All-Star break. He was in Naples, Florida for a little bit of a break himself. Ran into him at the movie theater of all places. And I just said, oh, you guys are going good. He goes, yeah. And I said, what's the big difference? And he said, well, we were playing well before and da-da-da-da-da. And he goes, and I'm not blaming Vasilevsky, but he's really been good lately. And that was before the All-Star break. During the All-Star break, rather. And he goes, he's been really good. That's made a big difference that we were playing well and losing some games by one, and then he's upped his game a little bit, and now those games that were in the balance, they're going back our way, and they got a lot of injuries now. Sorelli's not playing tonight. Kucherov's not playing tonight. Stamkos isn't playing tonight.
What happened to Stamkos? I didn't see
that. He got hurt a week or 10 days ago or whatever. It's not too bad. He should be back fairly soon. The Kucherov and Sorelli thing seems like it's day-to-day. Kucherov got his knee pinned on a hit by Jack Johnson behind the Pittsburgh net the other night. And Sorelli, if I'm not mistaken, blocked a shot. But I think he's just got a leg contusion. It's not structural damage for either guy.
I'm watching SportsCenter up on the other TV. Muzzin and Leafs are close on an extension now, according to Dregs.
Dregs reported tonight that the talks have continued and they're progressing. It's not done. So let's make that abundantly clear. I don't want the grappler throwing out. The deal's done.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Speaking on behalf of
Muzz will
the
slap
grappler.
Him upside the head. He knows how to work.
Randy Orton.
He's a Bobcast alumni. He knows how we work here.
Yeah. Al's brother's in there, too, guarding.
Absolutely.
Everyone.
He's got the turtle
Randy
on
Orton.
Tonight.
Yeah, always. Always,
there
man.
There you go. Anyways, I think they're working on something, and they expect to get something done. And Dreg said that maybe they'll get an agreement before the trade deadline. But regardless, I think the Leafs have some cap issues, and no, when I say cap issues, I'm not talking about this year. There's a whole thing, complicated thing called tagging issues, and it's about how much money you're allowed to commit to next year before you get some off the books this year and that sort of thing. So that might come into play here where maybe things don't get announced if they, assuming they continue down the path. But as Greg's correctly pointed out, not done, but working towards it and expectation that it will get done.
Any parameters that you're aware of in terms of money?
I'm not sure, but I think the critical thing would probably be, you know, people were wondering what kind of term can the Leafs give him. Yeah. And I would think if I'm Jake Muzzin, I got to get 4 years. Because I know if I go to market, I'm going to get maybe five.
Six.
And that. So I would suspect by the time it's all said and done, 4 years might be the sweet spot in terms of term. As for the dollars, I get the Leafs probably have a number, and they write it down, and they say, this is a real easy negotiation because that's all we've got to give you.
Right.
And I don't know, and I'm going to guess that for a defenseman like Muzzin, who's, what's he make now, 4-something?
4-1, I think, or something, yeah.
I got to believe there's got to be a 5 in front of it, you would think.
Mm-hmm. Has to be. Someone's giving him 6 on the open market.
Yeah, so you know, and again, when I say local, Woodstock, Ontario guy, he wants to be here, not at any cost. So, obviously, the fact that they seem to be getting down the road would lead you to believe that there's a basis that, you know, the term and the money is going to be in the right universe on both ends and that they'll find a way to take care of it all. And again, it comes back to, you know, structure and signing bonus and blah, 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 blah.
No trade, no move, Seattle, all that kind of
see,
stuff,
that,
right?
That, you got to be careful there. That's, you know, as we talked about it with Markstrom, that's one where teams have got to be really, really, really careful because, you know, and I haven't even begun to look at the implications for the Leafs in terms of who has to be protected. But, you know, assuming Morgan Rielly re-signs with the Leafs, you would think he would be. And then you've got Sandin, and he's, you know, is he eligible and stuff? I haven't even looked at all that stuff yet.
But
yeah, some of these players that are going to want no move protection aren't going to get it simply because teams have to have the flexibility. And they say, hey, listen, it's life in the big city.
That's it. Exactly. Not everyone. And there
you
are
could
a bunch
end
of teams
up in Seattle. Know that when you sign. And if everybody knows that when they sign, they're all good.
And it's only one guy that can go. You know, it's not like multiple guys from the same team are going. One guy from every team is going. And I think if you're over 30, there's a better chance they're going to avoid you anyway. That's probably something that Muzzin and others would be contemplating. But, you know, we've done a pretty good job. We haven't talked about contracts at any point all year. But after this year, as of July 1, I think you can extend UFAs too, right?
So RFAs. Like you can go, you're Freddie Anderson, you're Zach Hyman.
That's what I was going to ask
everybody's
you. Those two
everybody's a year away. Yeah, and so if you're Kyle Dubas right now, what you want to do is what they're doing. You want to take care of the priorities. So you've got some of these RFA guys like Engvall and others. You get those deals done. You get your cost certainty. You plug in. So you get Engvall done on 2 years, same as they did with Hall. So we can plug this guy into our lineup.
We know who he
we
is.
Know exactly how much it costs us. We know right now what Kapanen costs us, what Johnsson costs us, what the big boys cost us. That's no good. It's all plugged in there. So you take care of the ones that need to be taken care of, i.e. Muzzin. And then after the draft, get to July 1st. And then you sit down and say, okay, now what's our rollout on Freddie and Hyman and how are we going to do this?
Rielly's 2 years.
He's got two more.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, good. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gonna cost you. There's one guy in particular that I'm surprised he's put himself in this position. But Jason Spezza is going to be an interesting conversation.
He is. I think he's turned it in. I think he should turn it into one more year.
He's played really well, but I don't think he wants to leave Toronto.
No, he's not going to.
So
he's not going to. And one more cent either.
I would. But is he getting $700,000 again?
Why not?
Yeah. Because in order,
what do you think he's going to say? I got 8 goals. You got to give me 9.
He's already got 10.
It doesn't matter though. In order to stay,
that's what he's got
to
take.
In order to stay, he knows that's his ticket to stay in Toronto. And if there's room for him, great. If there's not, I could see Jason Spezza being, when he finishes playing, whenever that is, whether it's at the end of this season, which I don't think he wants to play another year. Whenever he decides to hang him up, I believe he'll have a job with the Leafs off ice. That'd be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's Jason Spezza, and he's a hockey nerd who just loves the game, and he's a great mentor to all these kids, and the guys in the room call him vintage. and you know, and they love being around him, and he loves being around them. So
I think he could do two. I think he could do two more years. I think he could play two more years. Third line set in that role.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's played really well.
Yeah, I think he's really played well.
You just take it one year at a time.
You only do 1 year at a time, but I'm just saying, you know, based on what he's put up and who he is, he could ask for more than $700,000.
Well, he's got to understand that that's not going to happen.
No.
So.
Okay. No. That's fine, but Pierre Engvall's making now, 125.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The money, at this point of his career, the money's not important to Jason Spezza. Jason Spezza has made lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing on a league minimum contract right now. I don't think he'd have any problem coming back on a league minimum a year from now, if that's the ticket necessary to stay in Toronto, because this is his home, his family's here, and so yeah, I can't imagine there's another scenario where he would want to go anywhere else for $300,000 more or right. $500,000 more. That's that. I don't see that in the cards at all.
Leaf starts tonight. We look forward to that one, Bob. Always great seeing you. Thank you for popping in.
Thanks, boys.
There he is, Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider.
You can catch me and Bob on That's Hockey Tonight with Gino Retta
at
7 p.m.
You know what kind of bothers me is that John Cooper vacations within the state of Florida.
Yeah, like, why isn't he in Bahamas?
Yeah. Well, it's just like it's jealousy skiing. About Florida.
Go to Aspen.
Yeah, go the other way. You're in the heat all the time. Go somewhere cold. Next time you see him, tell
You've
us.
You've never been to Naples, Florida, obviously.
I have not been to Naples, Florida, but it's beautiful. But he's in Tampa. He's 2 hours up the road, 2.5 hours north. Anyway, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, over the number, Edmonton-Tampa tonight. Even though we just said Vasilevsky's been red hot, Tampa's been rolling, but I think you're going to see some goals tonight in that game. I am on Florida at home against Philly. Florida's been struggling recently. Philly not as great on the road, so I will take Florida tonight. If you're a Leaf fan, you're looking for a win in regulation. Right, you just don't want a three-point game where Florida picks up two, Philly picks up one. You're chasing Philly either in the wild card or trying to stay ahead of Florida in the chase for that third spot in the Atlantic Division. And I'm on Washington paying $2. They have lost two in a row badly. They're at Colorado. Colorado's a great team. But I think Washington responds. This is a big game for them. I think they step up big time tonight. Paying $2, two on the road. Throw down 20, you can score 108. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Just the old two-seater here for the final segment. Jonas on his way down to the rink, and Bobby Mack's out of here. That's hockey coming up with Bobby Mack and yourself and Gino Retta.
Love it.
What do you expect tomorrow's Houston Astros story to be? Because something else is coming out. Like, there's either going to be a report about who else knew what.
Well, that's what's going to happen now. All the follow-up stories. Oh, this guy knew that, and this guy knew that, and didn't say anything. It's just, I find the most shocking thing about it is, like, Altuve and Bregman get peeled out there today, and they admit to cheating, and there's no suspension.
Nothing. No.
How can you do that?
They brokered a deal.
There's been a witch hunt in Major League Baseball for steroid users for 100 years.
Yep. This is way worse. Way worse than steroid use.
I agree.
Way worse than what Pete Rose did. Way worse. This is deplorable.
And there's not one suspension. There's a a $5 million fine?
Yeah, but that doesn't affect the players.
Yeah, the
they lost
AJ
draft
Hinch
picks.
Got fired. The general manager.
That's the thing. The manager and the GM get fired. Lunau and Hinch get fired.
Well, I guess that's what Manfred's thought process is. Well, it costs you the manager and the skip and
players don't. I mean,
how do the players get away with nothing?
Well, I can tell you, Jim Crane is a big part of it. Jim Crane is the owner. This is a guy I would not have been able to pick him out of a lineup of two people a week ago, but now I know exactly who he is. I know he's clearly incompetent, but he's also remarkably arrogant. If you go back and listen to what he had to say earlier today at their spring training facility, gives off this impression like, A, he's not remorseful at all. B, he has no interest in this asterisk on his World Series. He believes it is his personal achievement. And he said, basically, he doesn't feel like he needs to be apologizing for anything. And he said the players are not, there's nothing more that's going to happen with the players.
So was
it starts
me.
At the top.
He goes, oh, why? He goes, I don't feel like I need to be held accountable. It was a bizarre comment.
But that's an owner for you, man. I know. Like that's exactly why.
Just
whenever
hearing him say that, oh, I don't think I need to be held
accountable. All these owners believe that it's a vanity purchase. It's their game. They're bigger than it all. They run it all. They operate it all. We always see this kind of vitriol. This is why the players hate the owners during negotiations, because of that type of attitude. The owners, when they get to the negotiating table, they look at the players like, who the hell do you think you are? Do you know who I own the team. I sign your checks. This is my game. And that's exactly what I got out of Jim Crane today. This level of just, I am bigger and better than everyone else.
He seems like the crass, rich Southern guy. And he was like, what the hell are you talking about? We won the World Series and we paid our punishment and we're moving on.
Who are you? I'll bet you he legitimately thinks it's bogus that this is even a big issue.
By the way, you'll never see that guy the rest of the year.
He should disappear.
The rest of the year, he'll be in his private box. He'll tint the windows in it, and he'll be having a time.
That's the thing. The players are the ones that have to go on the road. They got to play 81 games on the road. Jim Crane's not going on the road.
Never.
He's not going to accept invitations to speak. He's not going to do any interviews. Again, prior to this week, I had never really seen the guy before. Like, he might have a presence in Houston. I do think he's catering to the market of Houston as well. I don't think he cares if people in New York, Toronto, Boston, Chicago, L.A. hate on him. He cares that his park continues to fill up and his players go out there and perform. So he hasn't learned any lessons. He doesn't believe it's on him, and that's what we got today. That's everything I picked up off the press conference. It was a joke, but I'm not surprised. He's been putting forth that arrogance forever. He's been fighting against any sort of justice. And I think this is the most hated team in pro sports. I don't think there's any other team that's even close. And I will say I'm intrigued by the journey in 2020.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one, man. It's going to get old for these guys.
It will. But there's a part of me that thinks this will turn out to actually be a good thing for baseball in a way, because people are going to want to talk about Houston and they're going to hear Houston. And when your team beats you, when they're in town, you got to get down there to see your team beat the cheating Houston Astros. Leafs, Stars tonight. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance a Kicks or Cash Tie to receive up to 3 payments on them. Finance rates from 0% on select Cash Ties. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.